But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us when they did not find his body. They came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it, just as the woman had said. But him they did not see. Then he said to them, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Then they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone farther. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him. And he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, Did not our heart burn within us? While he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us. So they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, The Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. And they told about the things that had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. Finishing verse 35 of this reading. And during this reading we see that they found an empty tomb. The body of Jesus was not in the tomb. And you know, to this day, no one has ever found the bones of the Lord Jesus. And we know, personally, they never will. Because as we've been reading, he rose from the dead bodily, bones and all, and showed himself physically to many people. This story is one of the most loved stories in all the scriptures. It's loved by Christians all over the world. There have been many paintings. Some very famous, world famous artists have painted this scene of Jesus coming and drawing near to two of his disciples at the time of their greatest need. And so I think every believer who reads this story feels that it's a very personal story. Everyone who has experienced this, not seeing him physically, but experiencing him drawing near to us personally in our time of greatest need. So today I'm going to share some things from this story. Just following on from the message on Friday evening, last Friday, Good Friday, we had good meeting on Friday evening in the room upstairs, 407, and we were focusing on the cross because it was Good Friday, the day that Jesus suffered and died, was crucified for us on the cross. But three things we focused on in particular that are revealed to us through the cross of Jesus. And the first one, most of all, of course, is how much God loves us. God has clearly demonstrated His love for us more than anywhere else through the cross of His Son, taking our sin, dying in our place. And then secondly, the other thing that is clearly shown to us through the cross is God's judgment, God's righteous judgment. When we want to understand what God thinks of sin, the best place to look is at the cross of Jesus, where God had to allow His one and only Son to suffer terribly because He cannot overlook sin. He's a holy God and He's a righteous God. But in order to forgive us, He punished our sin on His Son, the Lord Jesus. And when we understand something of the righteousness and judgment of God, we understand even more the depths of His love for us. Just lastly, we looked at the example that is shown to us that we are to follow, in which the greatest challenge to us as believers, when Jesus prayed on the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." Praying for those who were in the act of murdering Him. And of course, as we know, those of us who have received Him, He was praying for us. And through that prayer, we also have been forgiven. So today I'm going to follow on from there, and the title of today's message is The Other Side of Judgment. You know, in English we often use a phrase, there's two sides to every coin. You cannot have a coin with just one side. There's always two sides to a coin. And you know, when you look in the scriptures and you look at the judgment of God, even through the Old Testament before Jesus came, you will find there is always, together with judgment, salvation and vindication of those who are believers in God's promises. And so the first point today, today's message, is the resurrection of Jesus shows us that God clearly, openly vindicated His Son. The Lord Jesus died as a criminal. He was falsely accused, unjustly arrested and tortured, and unjustly executed as a criminal. But you see, God, in His righteousness, because of His righteous judgment, He had to show openly, publicly, that Jesus did not die for his own sin. That he died for the sins of the whole world. And so this day, this Easter day, we celebrate and we thank God that he vindicated the Lord Jesus. And we can read here in this story we just read, one of the early appearances. On Resurrection Day, the same day Jesus rose from the dead, two disciples coming toward evening, walking to this village of Emmaus, 7 miles from Jerusalem. And at first, when Jesus drew near, they didn't recognize him. But at the end of the story, when he broke bread in the house with them, the eyes of their hearts were opened to see him as their risen Savior. And their sadness was turned into unspeakable joy. It's just one instant, you know, like he vanished as soon as they knew he was alive forevermore. And, you know, like, I'm sure when you read this, the question arises in your mind, why did he just vanish instantly once they knew him? Well, the answer is that that's all it needed. That's all it needs for you and me to be given the gift of resurrection faith, the assurance that Jesus is alive forevermore. And Jesus gives that to every single one of his believers. It may not be, and obviously it won't be, a physical revelation. For 40 days after he rose, 40 days Jesus remained on this earth, appearing many times to many countless numbers of his believers. And this is turn and look at that, where we're told a little part of that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We have a record of some of the appearances of Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 to 8. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, according to all the prophecies of the Old Testament. Jesus was crucified. And then he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Again, this was all prophesied throughout the Old Testament in detail. And that he was seen by Cephas, that's Peter, one of his first disciples, then by the 12. After that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. It's interesting here that it says above 500 brethren. You know, it reminds me of the feeding of the 5,000, one of Jesus' greatest miracles, where he fed the crowd with five small loaves and two fish. And it tells us that the men were about 5,000 in number. So the Bible tends to just tell you how many men If you include women and children, I'm sure there were more than 10,000 people who experienced that miracle of the feeding, the miraculous feeding. And so here when it says above more than 500 and it says brethren, I think we can assume that women and children were not included. And if we include them, you're talking about many more than 500. It doesn't tell us how many more, it just says more than 500. And that's just the brethren, the men. But then it goes on to say here, verses 7 and 8, and that he was seen by James, then by all the apostles. James being the brother, or precisely speaking, the stepbrother of Jesus. Then last of all, he was seen by me also, but as one born out of due time. And this is the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul's experience of the revelation, the personal revelation of Jesus as risen from the dead, happened a long, long time after these 40 days that Jesus remained on the earth. Jesus had already ascended back to his Father in heaven when the Apostle Paul had this personal revelation on the road to Damascus. We have the account in the book of Acts. He saw a bright light, brighter than the sun, which left him blind, physically blind, for 3 days. And then the eyes of his heart were opened, together with his physical eyes. And he had a personal revelation of the Lord Jesus. Now, 2,000 years or more later, the Lord Jesus still appears in personal revelation to every single believer. Probably just for an instant, because that's all it takes. And I remember clearly that day, after praying and seeking for 2 weeks, and not being able to believe this stuff, wanting to believe it, but not being able to believe it. It just cannot be true. It sounded just like a fairy tale. Something that someone had created out of their imagination. Dead people don't rise from the dead. But then, as I was reading the scriptures, just suddenly, just one instant, I saw Jesus alive forevermore, not with physical eyes, but as he came into my heart by his Spirit. And the full assurance that everything that is written here is the truth. Same time as the full assurance that all my sins are forgiven. And the joy where I was at that time, even in a prison cell. That prison cell became like heaven for me in that moment. And from that moment, I could never doubt again that Jesus is alive and alive forevermore. So he comes to every believer, to those who seek him and receive him even in the midst of unbelief, was full of doubts, to those who want to believe and seek him in prayer, he will come. Even today. And you can experience the true meaning of Easter personally if you ask him just to reveal himself to you personally as your Lord and Savior. Let's move on and go back to Luke 24, the second point in today's message. And we see a description of ourselves before we come to Jesus, before we know him personally as our Savior. In Luke chapter 24, verse 25, it says, this is Jesus speaking to the two disciples. Then he said to them, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have written. And the Lord Jesus here is not rebuking them severely for not being able to believe. His whole purpose that he came near and walked with them on that road is to comfort them in their grief and sadness and to strengthen their faith and give them that full assurance of resurrection faith. He's not rebuking them, but his words show us, every one of us, what we are like before he comes and gives us this precious gift of resurrection faith, where we have that assurance that he is alive. And he said, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe. So the second point I want to think about is this foolish unbelief. Because in our sinful nature, every one of us, in our pride, we think that this is all nonsense. And even we think that those who believe this stuff are fools. It's the same in every country of the world. And I've heard it even in Japanese. Taking the words, the same as Jesus says, those who believe will be saved. Turning it around and saying, those who believe are fools. Japanese said, Jesus said, Yasamala, Shinjiru mono wa sukuwareru. でも信じる者はバカを見るという日本語の言葉もあるんです。それが、that's the price of our foolish unbelief in God's eyes. The foolish ones are not the believers. It's the ones who don't want to believe.And don't seek the truth, because everyone who seeks the truth, he will come. And he will transform them, take them out of foolish unbelief into the full assurance of faith. It reminds me of words that Jesus spoke to people who did not believe in the resurrection, even back in his own day. Let's just look at that in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 22, verse 29. Now, these people were known as Sadducees. They were religious people within Judaism, but they did not believe in the resurrection. And in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 22, we read this story, an account where they came to Jesus and tried to make him deny the truth of the resurrection. But in verse 29, Jesus answers and said to them, "You are mistaken, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God." So, two things which are necessary for us to be saved from our foolish unbelief. Faith comes through hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, the Scriptures. We don't need to understand all the Scriptures. We just need to know the most basic truth, that Jesus came and died for our sin and is our Savior. And if we receive Him, believing that, it's enough. But then he said, on top of that, you also need to know the power of God. Not in your head. I mean, these men knew the scriptures. They came with an argument based on the scriptures. They knew the scriptures, but they didn't know the truth of God that was contained in the scriptures, because they had never experienced in a personal way God opening their eyes, the eyes of their hearts, and revealing to them the resurrection power. You see, you can see all kinds of miracles and still not believe. You can see supernatural signs, like the feeding of the 5,000 over people who saw it and ate the bread but still did not believe, because they weren't seeking the truth and they were seeking material things first, above everything else. And they couldn't believe. So he's not talking here about seeing miraculous signs. That does not produce faith. The Word of God and simply responding to it in obedience, receiving it as the Word of God. He will come personally and with resurrection power open our eyes personally to see the truth of the resurrection. When we experience the power of God in that way, it changes our hearts. We become born again as a child of God. And we begin for the first time to be able to understand the truth of God contained in the scriptures. Now, these men, Jesus said, were mistaken because they knew neither the truth of God in the scriptures, nor the power of God. It's not about academic ability. You could study the Bible in an academic way all your life, like these men, and never see anything of the truth. Because you never experienced the power of the resurrection personally. But the Lord Jesus gives that experience of the power, the resurrection power of God, to everyone who seeks Him as their Lord and Savior and asks Him. And so we have illustrations of that in Scripture. I just want to look at one in Mark chapter 9, 23-24. This is the story of a father who brought his son first to the disciples, because this boy from his childhood was possessed with an evil spirit, a demon. The disciples couldn't help him, so he came to Jesus. Now let's look at Mark chapter 9, verse 22 and 23. And often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. It's the evidence of demon possession trying to destroy this boy. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Sorry, in 24. Now, this is the part I want you to remember. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Just put that in other words. This father wanted to believe, but he was struggling to believe. He was finding it hard to believe. And Jesus met him right there at the point of his need when he asked Jesus, help my unbelief. Same for us. If we haven't had this experience of personal revelation of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, that he is alive as our Savior forevermore. That's all we need to pray. As we receive him and say, Lord, I want to believe. Help my unbelief. And, of course, asking him to forgive us for our unbelief, because that is the number one sin. Unbelief is every one of us, is the number one sin. It is the core and the reason for every other sin that we ever commit. And we say, Lord, forgive my unbelief. I want to believe. Help my unbelief. And the Lord Jesus will do exactly what he did for this man. And he received his request and was given the full assurance of who Jesus is. And his son also was healed at the same time. You know, in this gift of faith, it's described most clearly in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, the whole chapter. And we call it the heroes of faith. And it concludes in chapter 12 and verse 2 with these words, looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. So, it's when we look to Jesus, not to the church, not to any other man, you won't find the answer to your need anywhere except looking to Jesus, the one and only sinless Son of God. And it says, he is the author, which he gives us faith, and he is the perfecter. So if you're here this morning and wondering, thinking, you know, I'd like to believe, but I can't. God's promise is for you that if you are willing to receive his son and pray and ask him, come into your heart, forgive your unbelief and be your Lord and Savior. You don't have to confess every sin you've ever committed. That is not necessary. In fact, it's impossible. If that was a condition, I could never be saved, and I don't think anyone else could be saved either. It's when we confess our unbelief, which is basically manifest in our living according to our own will, without any thought for God, or without seeking His will for our lives. We repent of that, receive Jesus as Lord, and every sin, don't care what it is, doesn't matter, every sin, at that very moment, is forgiven and cleansed. And I've seen, as a prison chaplain, men, before I was a prison chaplain in Northern Ireland, in a terrorist organization, men who committed the most terrible sins. And they were totally forgiven and transformed by this resurrection power, the Lord Jesus coming into their hearts. I'm only one of many hundreds in the conflict, the 35-year conflict in Northern Ireland, who experienced that and were saved and transformed never again to participate in any conflict of any kind. So this faith, you don't have it, but be assured you're not alone. You're not the only one. Nobody has it until they receive the Lord Jesus. And He not only gives it to us, He keeps and protects and perfects it. You don't have to worry, how could I ever keep this faith? Because the Lord Jesus is the perfecter of our faith. Finally, one more point I want to go to, back to the story in Luke 24. And I want to look at the first record in Scripture of what I call holy fire. These days, you turn on the news, you'll hear a lot about holy fire or the sacred flame of the Olympics. We're wondering, is it coming to Osaka or is it not? Well, I want you to see the holy fire that these two disciples experienced in this story. Luke 24, verse 32. This was after they had this personal revelation of Christ alive forevermore. And they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while He talked with us on the road, and while He opened the Scriptures to us? This inner flame, fire, holy fire, which is the love of God poured into our hearts by His Holy Spirit. As we're told in Romans chapter 5, verse 5, for the love of God is poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who is given unto us. Everyone who the Lord Jesus gives His Spirit to has the love of God come into their hearts, and that fire of God's love grows into a flame that causes us to love the Lord Jesus above everything else and to love His Word. Just like these two disciples, they said, when he walked with us on the road and explained to us the scriptures, our heart burned within us. When we become a believer, the Lord Jesus gives us his love to set our hearts on fire. And that love cleanses and keeps our hearts clean and empowers us to live for him. It's his love which has the power. The only thing that can turn unbelievers, like these early believers in Jesus, early disciples, not one of them could believe in the resurrection until the Lord Jesus gave them this personal experience, revealing himself as the one who is alive. So they were transformed, and they were able, with his love burning in their hearts, to go out into all the world and overcome all kinds of persecution, many of them even sacrificing their lives because of this love, this holy fire which the Lord Jesus gives us. Let's look at Acts chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. The day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit first came, Jesus, having ascended to the right hand of God, his Father, sent this gift from heaven's throne to every one of his believers. And the record is in Acts chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. This is what we sometimes know is called the birthday of the church. And so, 120 believers approximately on that day receive, the first people to receive this gift from heaven that the Lord Jesus sent, because it wasn't given before he went back and ascended to the highest place of heaven. And it says it appeared as a flame of fire upon each one individually. So it was a personal experience for each one. Until then, they were locked in a room with doors shut, living in fear. But after this, with the fire of God's love burning in their hearts, they went out, many of them, and even sacrificing their lives in order to witness and testify of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Just want to look at 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13, because we see there are three things that will never be taken from us, things which the Lord Jesus gives us, which will never be taken away from us. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13, the last verse of chapter 13. And now abide faith, hope, and love. These three, but the greatest of these is love. So the faith is resurrection faith. That is what the Bible teaches as Christian faith. Anyone who denies the resurrection does not have true Christian faith. This is resurrection faith, and it's also eternal hope. Hope that will never be taken away. We'll never be disappointed. Jesus will never, ever disappoint you. So eternal hope and this love, which is perfect love, the love of God poured in our hearts, setting us free from fear and empowering us to live for the Lord Jesus. We cannot live as His witnesses in human strength alone. Nobody can. But His love poured into our hearts, we will find that we cannot keep silent. Even someone like me, who does not easily speak to people who I don't know. You know, I would prefer to be up at the back row, sitting in the very back and not be seen or heard. That's my nature, my personality. But this love that burns in my heart, first and foremost, love for the Lord Jesus, love for His Word, and love for people who He died for. And it will enable you to be a witness. Every believer. We're not all called to be preachers. Not all called to be missionaries. But every believer is called to be a witness. And the Lord Jesus makes us witnesses by pouring that love. So resurrection faith, eternal hope, and this holy fire of His love. These three can never be separated, and they'll never be taken from us. I want to finish with one more verse, and it's because it's the key to experiencing all these things in our own personal experience. So John Gospel 14, verse 21. This is how a person experiences a personal revelation of Jesus, giving them resurrection faith, eternal hope, and the love of God in their personal experience. Verse 21, John's Gospel 14. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Reveal myself to him. To who? To the one who has my commandments and keeps them. You see, as I said, academic ability, although it's a good gift that God has given us, is not the key to experiencing these precious truths and knowing them with full assurance. It's all about obedience. If you will obey His command, He said, I will personally reveal myself to that person. Can happen for a little child who doesn't know anything of the deep truths of Scripture. But it's also the same for the genius who has been gifted with more ability than most of us. This is the key. He who has my commands and keeps them will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and reveal myself to him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just praise you and thank you for this salvation that you have provided at great cost through your one and only Son, the Lord Jesus. We thank you and praise you for the precious gifts of resurrection faith and eternal hope that burning love, the love of God, poured in our hearts. Lord, help us to increasingly obey your word that we might know more and more of these precious truths made real in our personal experience, that we might love the Lord Jesus and live for him above everything else. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.